Welcome to Sevenfold Studios. I'm your host, Joel Miro, and this is Seven's Playbook, the podcast that gives you the tools and insights you need to cultivate winning mindsets, winning goals, and winning game plans. Now, on this episode, I have a very, very special one. It is a new topic. It is a new month, a new topic. The habit loop, the ABCs of building healthy habits. We're going to continue with that. But on this episode, we're going to the next letter of the alphabet, which is B. B, which stands for building a better plan. I'm excited about this one because this is something that I am very big on. I'm very big on planning. I'm very big on self-improvement. So I could even say that this is my favorite of the ABCs of building healthy habits, because it's an exciting time. It's something you get to build your own plan, and it's something that is just continuously adjustable, if I could put it like that. So for starters, I want to start off by saying that we are products of our environment. You know, whenever we're making a plan, whenever we're building whatever it is we want to build, very often our plan is contingent or based on the environment that we are in. It is based off of various factors, whether it's your time, whether it's your culture, whatever it is, it is based on the environment that we're in. So a lot of the constraints and limitations in our plan are based off of that. I like to think about it like this. Like, I'm in consulting, so my time is quite flexible, if I'm being honest, just to share a little bit about myself. So very often, sometimes I have to go see a client, and I would be in the office the whole day. And let's say my plan was to train in the morning. So one of my biggest plans was, okay, I need to make sure that my membership is a national membership if I'm constantly on the go. So I tell myself, okay, if I'm at this client, I'm going to train in the morning. I'm going to wake up super early, make sure that I've packed out everything the night before, get up, go train at a gym very, very close to the client, and then go to the client, do what I need to do, get back home, continue. So as I said, we are products of our environment. Our plans are products of our environment. Now I want to talk about something that in terms of building better plans, James Clear, which is basically the heart or the reason as to why I am building this habit loop, in a sense. My rendition of the habit loop is based off of his book and his rendition of the habit loop. And yeah, so he posted something that just really did resonate with me. Well, he put something in his book that really did resonate with me, and it's a graph, right? A very simple graph, but I'm a data person, okay? I love data. I love evidence-based management, if I could put it like that, or just making evidence-based decisions, right? Objective decisions. So if you tell me that this so-and-so happened, or I believe that this is the best plan, I need you to give me data. I need you to show me data. I work with data. So when it comes to every single decision that I make, or every single important decision that I make, I like to see the data behind it, right? And this graph depicts the difference between getting 1% better each and every single day and 1% worse every single day, right? And what it actually showcased is something quite profound, in my opinion. It actually showcased that if we get 1% better every single day, right? I don't know how to explain this in stats. Every single day for a year, right? The difference that we will see is, like, let's say 37.78. This is like 1% better every single day, right? Getting 1% worse every single day, the impact that it will have is 0.03 over a year, right? Over a year, you getting 1% worse, right? Over a year, right? Has almost like more than 40. I haven't done the math. I haven't done the math, right? But I'll show you guys the picture on my social media platforms. I'll probably post it as well, right? So that you guys can actually visualize and actually see what I am looking at myself, right? And the important thing that James Clear is just trying to communicate for me personally, right, is, well, number one, right, two important things that I received from it. Number one, a moment of failure will never defer a lifetime of success, right? And I posted this already, but I want to reemphasize this. Oftentimes, we magnify the days that we fall short. However, the truth of the matter lies in the fact that these days, these moments may be inevitable, but will only be a crutch in your life if you let them. A productive day has a greater impact than one bad day. Never let a moment determine a lifetime. Now, the reason why I wanted to emphasize this point, this fact, is simply because when I looked at this graph, it made me realize that so many of us look at a year in our life and get discouraged, or we're hurt because of a specific moment or something that basically dictated our entire year, I would say. Something that controlled our entire year, or basically we just never really did. We never really did a lot that year, or we think that we never did a lot. But very often when we think back, we magnify very often the moments of failure, right? But we don't acknowledge the great moments. I remember in 2018, and you can go back on some of the podcasts that I released back then, I decided this project called the Gratitude or the Grateful Project. So every single time I'd come home, I would take a sticky note and write a couple of good things that happened that day, things that I'm happy about, that I'm proud about, right? And by the end of that year, I had quite a bit. It wasn't as consistent as possible, so it wasn't every day. I do say every day very loosely. There were some days where I just didn't, or a couple of days. Hey, it is what it is, you know? And by the end of that year, I looked at 2018 and I just thought to myself, that was one of the greatest years that I've ever had, right? And it wasn't necessarily because it was absent of failure or shortcomings. Trust me, if you ask me some of the shortcomings of 2018, I'll be able to tell you them in detail, okay? But it's because I focused on the days in which I did better, or I got better, right? And with that, I had a good year. With that, my perspective of that year was greater. With that, I was able to enter the next year, 2019, with the momentum of, hey, I'm not doing that bad. If anything, I'm doing way better than what I actually thought I was doing. With that knowledge, I want us to kind of acknowledge, not just kind of, I want us to acknowledge the little efforts that we make, because as I said before, right, a productive day has a greater impact than one bad day. Never let a moment determine a lifetime. And here's the thing, it's not just some fancy quote that we're making up or that we're stating. It's data. The data supports this as a fact, right? So whenever somebody tells you or makes you feel bad for a shortcoming, something that you might have done wrong, a day that you weren't as productive, or whatever the case may be, never let that moment determine a lifetime. Never let it determine your year. It might have been a bad day, but it is not a bad week. It is not a bad year. It is not a bad life, right? And even more so, I would even say that, like, respectfully, but it might have been a bad moment, but it's not a bad day. It's not a bad day, right? It's not a bad day. I mean, you have 24 good hours in that day. I'm pretty sure there might be something or that would be good that comes out of that day, you know? Fine, you fought with your boss. Your boss was upset with you because of something like that. But hey, you still got 24 hours. You still got the remaining couple of hours of the day. It doesn't matter. There's so much to be grateful for one day alone. And I never want individuals to wish away moments because of one moment of failure. You know, never wish away a point in your life. And I might be going on a tangent, but I just really do feel it in my heart to actually state this. But the older I get, the more I realize that people magnify being young. And I think I mentioned this before, but I'm going to emphasize it on again. I don't really have a very good memory when it comes to what I share on the podcast. So please do bear with me if I'm repeating things. And I was listening to a podcast by John Acuff, and he mentioned that a a lot of people say that getting older and getting more responsible and stuff like that, your life becomes more boring and stuff like that. But if you think about it, he literally said it actually becomes more exciting. And it really is all about your perspective, because if you think about it, right, when you were younger, you had your friends, you had all the time in the world, right, but you didn't have the money, right? But when you're older, if you think about it logically, a lot of adults say that they don't have the time, right? But what are you busy with? Yes, you might have a lot more responsibilities to take care of, but you have a lot more control over your time, and you have probably the financial freedom to actually do what you want. You're not restricted as you were as a kid. If anything, your life should be getting better. If you want to go for a run, if you want to enter that competition, if you want to learn a new skill, my boss literally started. I'm going on a tangent this episode, and it's okay. But my boss, who is significantly older than me, I think he's in his 40s, he stated, "Hey, I recently started playing the trumpet." I looked at him and I was like, "You recently started playing the trumpet? That's crazy." And I thought to myself, I'm like, this guy is just like me. He's basically an old kid that just wants to experience life and life in abundance. And I don't know who's listening to this right now, but I kind of want you to experience that as well. I never want you to whisk away a moment because of trials and tribulations, because of difficulties. If you're in university listening to this right now, and you were all high school and you might be going through the most academically, fine. Yes, life is not absent of trials and tribulations, but never let a moment determine a lifetime. Never let that negative mark shape your perspective of your university experience or just your life experience. I've shared this before in the past. I had some terrible marks. I think one of the worst marks that I ever received for a test was 4%. 4%. I'm not saying 4 out of 5. I'm talking 4%, okay? I had better luck just writing my name and walking out of that exam, or not studying, you know, going out with my friends that weekend before the exam. But hey, I studied hard and I got 4%. But even in the midst of all of that, as much as I was hurt for a moment, I never let it dictate my university experience as a whole. You know, it wasn't going to stop me from experiencing the joy of being present, you know? Let me go on to the next point from James Clear's book that really, well, from this 1% better graph that he mentions. Don't let the size of your goals intimidate you. That is the second lesson, right? A day's work brings you closer to a lifetime of success. Magnify your daily efforts to action your tiny gains. Let the power of compounding work in your favor. Don't let the size of your goals intimidate you. A day's work brings you closer to a lifetime of success. Look, this graph depicts you getting better, 1% better each and every single day. And then it also depicts you getting 1% worse every single day. But here's the truth, right? Number one, you don't get better 1% every single day, right? That simply doesn't happen, right? Or it could happen. Let's say, speak of like a task or whatever the case may be that you, or something that you want to accomplish, like working out. You might not necessarily get better 1% every single day, right? But just because you're not getting better 1% every single day, it doesn't mean the alternative is not the fact that you're getting worse every single day, right? You could just be being stable, right? Or just maintaining your gains, right? And the beauty of that is that the minute you make an attempt, even one attempt of being present and trying to get 1% better every single day, right, has a greater impact. Okay, I'll look at the numbers again and I'll actually just calculate this. Has a greater impact. Like, I think two or five or 10%, 10 times greater impact even, than you just failing and getting worse for one day, right? And that's the beautiful thing about this data. It is part of the data. It reminds you that the day you try to get better, right, anything that you have done in the past, or a huge chunk of your failure of the past, gets eradicated and is completely just brushed under the carpet. It is not even under the carpet, but like it's gone. It's completely gone. The minute you run on that treadmill the first time, you're getting better. You're getting 1% better. And the failure of the past is, it just gets even further and further. Like it becomes even more and more irrelevant is what I'm trying to say as well. So really magnifying and focusing on never just letting the size of your goals intimidate you. Now, you might be asking yourself now, how do I actually create a better plan in these moments in which I want to become 1% better? The 1% better plan, I would say, right? And here's just a couple of insights and tools to help you build a 1% better plan for your goals. And number one, let's start with what I've said from day one, okay? Creating clear-cut goals. Now, clarifying your goals by identifying your passions and purpose, creating a clear and compelling vision for your future, and breaking down your objectives into manageable steps. Because your goals give you a compass in life, but clear-cut goals give you a map to your destination. What a powerful quote. Now, your goals give you a compass in life, but clear-cut goals give you a map to your destination. And what good is it? What good is a compass to a man that knows not his destination, right? I've mentioned this before. I've mentioned this in the previous episode about like creating goals, clear-cut goals, and you know, identifying your why as well. But I want to also just continually like emphasize on this, because you know, a goal without a purpose is merely a dream. You know, it's merely a dream. One of the tools that I've used to kind of understand or create clear-cut goals is understanding the reason why I want that goal to be accomplished. Because your why, as I mentioned before, your why really does maintain or just sustains you in each and every single phase of your journey in attaining that goal. So the five whys, if you want to know a little bit about the five whys, I've got a quick summary over here, right? So now the five whys is an iterative technique used to explore the cause and effect of relationships underlying a particular problem. So you start with a problem, right? You start with a problem. A lot of our goals come from either a problem or a dream or something that we want to attain, right? So it's not necessarily a problem. I would say, like, let's say you want to lose weight. Maybe the problem is, hey, I want to lose weight, or the weight is the problem. But let me use another example. Like, let's say the problem is you ran through a red light. Okay, this is an example from online, so I'm just repeating what they're saying, right? So now the question that you ask yourself is, why did you run through the red light, right? And you answer it and you say, hey, I was late for work. The next, you ask again, why? Why were you late for work? I woke up late. That's the answer. Then you ask yourself, why did you wake up late? And your answer is, the alarm didn't work. And then you ask yourself, why didn't the alarm work? Hey, there was an exhausted battery, okay? And then you ask yourself, finally, the fifth and final why did you have an exhausted battery? And boom, the final answer is, I forgot to check it. And that is your root cause. That is the reason. That is the reason why you're late. And now you can build from there, build a plan, right, in making sure, hey, listen, regularly check your alarm clock. See, hey, listen, battery lasts, let's say, a year or whatever the case may be. Make sure that after a year, you're checking your alarm clock so that you won't be late for that reason again. And it's the same thing with your whys, I would say. Like, why is it that you're passionate about it? Like, really just discover the root cause of your why. And remember that your what can change over time, but your why is something rooted in your heart's deepest desires. And that's exactly what would be actionable. As I said, your what can change over time. I can cancel this podcast and continue with another project, right? I will not be considered a failure. Only reason is because I haven't let go of my why. I haven't let go of my heart's deepest desire, which is to, in summary, help individuals, you know, in terms of their personal development, creating winning mindsets in every winning mindsets, winning goals, and winning game plans in every environment that I'm in, you know, everywhere I go. It could, the what in this case is my podcast, you know. So yeah, just as a quick, nice example. Okay. And your clear cut goals shed light to your why, quite significantly, you know? So, you know, you ask yourself quite a number of questions like, what am I passionate about? How can I make it actionable? And why do I want to achieve this goal? But yeah, but the three fixed questions that I personally want you to ask yourself in terms of developing these clear cut goals, are: number one, what specific measurable outcome do I want to achieve? Number two, how will achieving this goal benefit me or others in my life? And number three, what resources or support do I need to make this goal a reality? And remember, from previous episodes, I've said it and I'll say it again. The what excites, but the why maintains. It causes you to continue. Your goals should always be able to speak to your why. Now, the next point that I want to bring is overcoming obstacles. Okay, overcoming obstacles. So, we've hit a very, very, very good topic. Overcoming obstacles by developing a resilient mindset, embracing challenges as opportunities for growth, and building your confidence to persevere in the face of adversity. The first and biggest obstacle lies in overcoming a mindset. The greatest obstacle to success is not what's in front of you, but what's inside of you. In Proverbs, it states that as a man thinketh, so is he, right? And one of the best books that I have actually read in regards to building a healthy mindset is Battlefield of the Mind by Pastor Joyce Meyer. Now, this is a book that I would recommend you read annually. I actually read it at the beginning of this year to kind of just start out the year. And I think I'm going to read it at the end of this year to start out next year. So like in December, I'm most probably going to read it so that I can start out the year with a very good, mentality. And it was recommended to me to read your favorite book every single year because you gain a different perspective from it. And this book really did push me and encourage me to really just look in my head, because a lot of because as I mentioned before, like, we are products of our environment, but we can shape our environments through our perspectives. And that's exactly what this book is about: shaping your environments with your perspectives, because very often our environment is something that we can't dictate what happens, right? But we can shape how we perceive and how we react to it, right? And I'm going to jump into reaction a little bit later. As much as your goals are only as good as your game plan, the success of your goals are dependent on the strength of your mind. And that is exactly why I emphasize on creating winning mindsets, not just having good goals, not just having, well, winning goals or winning game plans, but having a winning mindset. And that is the primary step for me, because from a winning mindset comes these winning goals, and from winning goals comes winning game plans. And at the end of the day, I'm not asking you to always be positive. You don't have to have the most positive perspective to be successful. To be successful. And oftentimes it just takes you showing up. It just takes you being present, you know. If your goal is 1%, you'll always win. We don't show up every single day, right? And it's okay not to show up every single day, right? But for majority of the year, show up, you know. It is okay to have days off. It is okay to sit back on the sidelines just for a moment, right, to take it in. Even the best football players don't play each and every single match. You know, they don't play the full 90 minutes. It's okay to take your break. So in terms of overcoming obstacles, I want you to ask yourself these three questions. What limiting beliefs or fears are holding me back from achieving my goals? How can I reframe my negative thoughts into more positive and empowering ones? And what steps can I take to build my confidence and resilience in the face of challenges and setbacks? Now, the third and final point that I want to make today is one of my favorite points. Becoming an action architect, okay? Becoming an action architect. Did you guys see the whole, like, AA, you know? Becoming an action architect. I know, really dope, right? So, this entails creating an action plan by setting SMART goals, prioritizing your task, and holding yourself accountable to stay motivated and on track towards your desired outcomes. Now, this is something that I've actually spoken about in the past, and something that I'm quite passionate about. I remember talking about it in 2018, funny enough. Wow, 2018 was that year, you know? I mentioned it even twice on this podcast. Now, everyone has an action plan, but it's not often that we have a reaction plan. If you've heard this before, you're going to hear it again, okay? Everyone has an action plan, but it's not often that we have a reaction plan. Recently, I dropped an article relating to scenario planning in the corporate environment. Very corporate related podcast, article that you can check out on LinkedIn. It's quite interesting because whenever you're developing a new system, you always have to take into consideration like different risks involved and actually how to mitigate those risks. And that's where scenario planning comes in. It's literally taking a system, putting it in a scenario, a real life scenario, and testing it out and seeing how that system would hold in a specific environment. And that is exactly what I mean by having a reaction plan, you know, where you hope for the best, yes, with your amazing system, with your amazing plan, but you also make a plan for the worst. So you hope for the best and you plan for the worst. Because remember, at the end of the day, it is inevitable that we experience some sort of resilience. We will never be our best every single day in this life we live. But it is important for us to put structures in place to protect us in the moments that we are most vulnerable. Now, this next clip that I'm about to play for you guys is a very, very powerful clip, right? Have a good listen.
Whenever you play Call of Duty, right, there's a point where your character, where he goes, cover me, I'm reloading. What it simply means is I'm not dead, but right now I did run out of ammo. And we have a real enemy coming. If you don't cover me while I'm reloading, I may not make it. In this walk, we're gonna need people that know how to cover us when we're reloading. I'm navigating through a breakup and I'm in a lot of pain. Cover me. I'm reloading. Money's very low. I can't seem to make ends meet. Cover me. I'm reloading. I am mourning loss. Family, friends, jobs, you name it. Cover me. I am reloading. And sometimes when life gets so crazy, things start to shake you up and you're just a little unsettled. Your judgment is not always clear, so you need somebody to cover you. Reloading can look like you need to go before God. Reloading looks like you just need a break and you need to reset here for a moment. Reloading looks like, hey, I need to take a walk. Reloading looks like, hey, I need to take some time away from this or that. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And I'm encouraging everybody to be praying for your friends. Pray for your people, pray for your family members, and pray for yourself.
Now, one of the greatest weapons we have been given is one another. Because on our worst days, our friends and family can fight for us. Now, becoming 1% better requires people. They are the ones that will carry you and help you show up and allow you to reload and take on the next day. The reason why this clip is so powerful, when I heard it for the first time, which was not recently, it was a while back, is because I realized that I was a soldier that wanted to do things, that took pride actually in doing things on my own. I was extremely stubborn, you know, but at the same time it worked for the longest of time. Being the lone soldier, it gave me so much joy and it just told me, hey, listen, I can do so much on my own and look at how much I'm accomplishing on my own, being so independent and strong, look at me. It's not to say that you don't need God, yes, but like I kind of convinced myself that I didn't really need people, right? And I remember like reading 1 Corinthians, I think it is 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul, just to give you a quick summary, he's in prison, right? And from verse 7, it says the following, right? And I want you to kind of resonate with this. Like, this is Paul. This is one of the strongest apostles. Like, you could even say that one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived, right? Like, literally, he's the GOAT, in other words, okay? And he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, right? These great things that he's literally done, in a sense. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, right? To keep me from becoming conceited, right? Because of these surpassing great revelations. So he literally says, this was literally placed, these hardships and these trials and tribulations were given to me to keep me from becoming boastful in myself, right? A thorn in my flesh was given. And he even says that three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, right? And this is us. Oftentimes, whenever we're going through trials and tribulations, whenever our plans aren't working, we think to ourselves, hey, I want this removed. I'm so done with this. I'm not capable. I can't do this. We're embarrassed. We're shy. We care about people's opinions. We care about just so much, and we plead and we're like, remove it from me. I don't care anymore. I am done. This goal is not worth it. I'm finished. And this is Paul, one of the greatest apostles, that says this. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, and then he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I'm going to start again. I delight, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And there is so much to take away from this. There is so much to take away from this, right? Because from a faith-based perspective, like, my grace is sufficient. Oh, I love this verse so much. And just thinking about it, like, I'm just thinking to myself, sorry, like, this verse really just shaped a lot of what I think about when it comes to me not feeling like I'm good enough in the moment. And in that, I turn to my God. I turn to Him. And I'm reminded that, as I said before, one day of failing doesn't dictate your lifetime. Never let a moment determine a lifetime of success. And I look at it like that. In the moments of weakness, turn to your loved ones to cover you, to hold the fort, so that you can come back stronger. Sharpen your axe so that you can come back and chop that tree down better and stronger. You being weak, you having scars, you having gone through all those trials and tribulations, it does not, if anything, your weakness shows how strong you are. If anything, those moments of weakness are an opportunity for you to acknowledge a strength that you maybe haven't even like unlocked, I would say. There's no use in fighting life's greatest challenges alone when you have an army willing to fight with you. So I ask you, who's your army willing to fight with you? Who are the individuals that in the midst of the insults, the hardships, the persecutions and the difficulties and your weakness, who are the individuals that will be able to be strong on your behalf, to stand next to you and stand by you regardless of who, what, where, I don't care, whatever happens, they'll be able to stick by you and stand by you regardless. Keep those individuals close, because those are the individuals that will be there with you beyond the finish line. So, the question is, becoming an action architect, how do I do that? Ask yourself these questions. What specific action can I take to move closer to my goal? How can I break down my goal into smaller, more manageable steps? And what potential obstacles might I encounter along the way? And how can I plan to overcome them with my army? In closing, goals give you a compass in life, but clear-cut goals give you a map to your destination. What good is a compass to a man that knows not his destination? The greatest obstacle to success is not what's in front of you, but what lies inside of you. It is inevitable that we experience some sort of resilience. It is inevitable that we experience some sort of resistance. We will never be our best every day in this life we live. But it is important for us to put structures in place to protect us in the moments that we are the most vulnerable. On the next episode, we'll be discussing consistently taking action, the C in the ABCs of building healthy habits and expanding on becoming an action architect. Thank you for tuning in and becoming part of Seven's Circle, a community that wins. Whether it's your mindset, your goals, or your game plans, we've got all the tools and insights you need to start winning in life. To stay up to date with our content and join the conversation, follow us on all our social media platforms, on Instagram at Stephenfold Studios, or simply follow me personally on LinkedIn at Joel Miro. Keep using Seven's Playbook to build the life that you want, and we'll be here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, keep doing the most with the Most High.